This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast. It is episode 96 of season number 3. Pat Hughes returns to the Fly the W podcast. Don't forget to leave us one of this 5-star reviews. And in this segment, Crawley talks to the Hall of Fame Cubs broadcaster, Pat Hughes of 670 The Score, about joining the Cubs Hall of Fame, winning the Ford Frick, and some of his most memorable calls.
Joining me now on the Fly the W podcast, I am honored to be joined by Cubs Hall of Fame broadcaster Pat Hughes. Pat, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. Settling in after a Thanksgiving yesterday and full of food. And it was a nice, peaceful day, except for the Bears game, of course. And all is good. I'm looking forward to the Cubs season already. And I'm looking forward to the event at Club 400 on December 7th. And we're going to have some fun and talk a little baseball, and it'll be a good time.
I got to tell you, Pat, I've been to many a Club 400 parties, and to me, the Christmas party is the best. It's the most intimate. Everyone's just in a festive mood, and hearing your stories are always the best, so I know it is going to be a great time. Pat, since the last time we talked, you've been the recipient of many different awards and accolades. One of them, the Cubs rebooted the Cubs Hall of Fame. It was something that they had earlier, and then it kind of died down. But then in August of 2022, they had a ceremony for you, and it was you, Jose Cardenal, and the great, late, great Buck O'Neill. Crane Kenny came on the air. You were supposed to read the recipient's name. You weren't. You didn't know that you'd be reading your own name. How surprised were you?
Very. What a great moment that was. The Cardinals were in town, and it was just a night game, and I'm just broadcasting the game. And Crane Kenny, who's done more for me than any executive I think ever has, came into the booth and let me know that I was going to be a part of the Cubs Hall of Fame. That was in 2022. And then later that year, in December of 2022, I got the call from Cooperstown. And again, Crane Kenny played a pivotal role in that activity as well, and I went into Cooperstown in July of 2023. So it's been an amazing period here, and I can't really believe how lucky I've been. And I'm just a worker. I'm really just a guy that loves baseball. I have great partners in Ron Coomer and Ron Santo before him. Zach Zaveman is the third man in the booth right now, and really we have fun. We cover the game. We laugh, we talk baseball, we talk strategy, we do silly things, and it's just something I'm so happy to be a part of. And as long as I'm broadcasting for the Cubs, I hope Ron Coomer is sitting right next to me.
Yeah, I mean, and when you mention Ron Coomer, it makes me laugh because I remember when you announced that you were going to be going into the Cubs Hall of Fame, you said, quote, "I'm so pleased, I can't even believe it. I know I have to focus on play-by-play, so I'm going to keep doing that." And Ron shoots back, "I think the play-by-play can stop there for a second, partner." So, you know, you guys both laughed. It's always a good time. And that whole Cubs Hall of Fame ceremony is just beautiful, you know. And I feel like every year it keeps getting better and better. They kind of, you know, add little things to it. But you got the blue Cubs Hall of Fame blazers. You got to throw the first pitch with Jose. And since then, there's been two more ceremonies. You had one with Sean Dunstan and one with Mark Grace. And then this year it was Kerry Wood and Aramis Ramirez. Do you have a vote on who you believe belongs in the next class?
I don't really go there because there are a lot of candidates, and I'd have to sit down and look at the list and then analyze and maybe do a little research on each one and see who is the most worthy. So, no, I let others make that decision. I do have a vote, it should be known. When you're a member of the Hall of Fame for the Cubs and for Cooperstown, you get to vote in these various elections. So I'll have a vote. But no, I don't advocate anyone before the process begins.
Okay, so you do have a vote. That's got to be, you know, it's a big decision here. And I'm taking a look here. I have a picture that I just got signed by a bunch of players recently at the Chicago Sports Spectacular. I know you've been there many a times. This is signed by Rhino, Andre, Billy, Carey, Sean Dunstan, and I can't wait to have you sign it at Club 400. But what does it feel like when you're on the field and you're there with the Hawk and Rhino and Sweet Swing and Billy Williams and Sutton, Fergie, and just all these great Cubs? What does it feel like to be included in that company?
They've all treated me so well, and yet the baseball fan in me is still a 10 or 12 year old kid thinking, here I am on the field with Billy Williams. I used to go to Candlestick Park and watch Billy Williams play against Willie Mays and the Giants many, many, many years ago. And now here I am, members of the same Hall of Fame as Billy Williams, along with the late Ron Santo. But Fergie Jenkins is in there. And, thinking about Ronnie, I wish so much that really, Paul, when I think back to 2016, it would have meant so much to Ron Santo and to Ernie Banks to have been part of that Cubs World Series championship. So I think about them. But I'll tell you the truth, when I'm sometimes in a group and we're all wearing our blue jackets, I think, what am I doing here? Do I really belong in the same stratosphere or the same orbit as Ryan Sandberg, Billy Williams, Rick Sutcliffe, Andre Dawson? Do I really belong here? I guess I do, but it's taking some getting used to.
Well, I'm going to speak on behalf of all Cub fans there. The saying, yes, absolutely, 100% you do. Like you mentioned before, December 2022, you were up again for the Ford Frick Award, which is presented annually to a broadcaster for major contributions to baseball. And Pat, I'm not going to lie, I was 100% certain you were going to get that call in 2020. And unfortunately, you know, like many Cub fans, we were all disappointed. Well, you know, obviously there's many great broadcasters. When you're all up for the Hall of Fame, you know, you're not going up against, you know, guys that are not deserving. But, you know, I think about, you mentioned Ron Santo, and I think about, you know, sometimes he was waiting for that call and the call that he got was not the one that he expected. When you knew that there was going to be a call on December 7th, 2022, were you a little nervous as far as, you know, I hope this time is it? I mean, what's going through your head at that moment?
You're hoping. I'm not really a religious man, so I can't say I'm praying for it. I'm not sure if that's the type of thing that a person should or would be able to pray for anyway. But I was hoping. I feel like, I look at some of the other guys in there. I knew from talking to some of the current Hall of Fame broadcasters that I had a chance, and I knew that they were in my corner without mentioning a lot of names. The late Dick Enberg, the last time he came into the booth, the first time the Cubs played the Padres, he was doing Padre TV at the end of his career, and he said, Pat, I know you were right at the top of the list. I'd hang in there. He said, I like your chances the next time. So that was awfully nice of the late Dick Enberg. But Bob Costas was very supportive. Bob Uecker, and there have been others. Marty Brenneman, very much so. Tony Kubek called me the day that I made it into Cooperstown. So you're hoping. You realize that, like you said, there are always a lot of viable candidates deserving. Guys who have done it longer than I have. And I've just finished my 42nd consecutive year of big league announcing. And by the way, Paul, I'm very excited for next year. It's going to be my 30th year as the Cubs lead radio play-by-play man. And that's a milestone that I'm very proud of. So I'm looking forward to that. But it's one of those things, it's almost an out-of-body experience when you do get the call from Cooperstown. You start thinking about your parents and your childhood and playing your first games and then listening to games and going to Candlestick to watch your first big league games. And it's a wave of emotions and memories. That would be probably the best way I could explain it.
Yeah, it's Marquee was there, the Cubs and Marquee crew, they were there, and you know, it was just so awesome to see that. Now, the ceremony comes in July, and you're joined not only by Ron Coomer and Zach Zaidman and your Cubs radio family, but also by members of other organizations. You're with the Milwaukee Brewers, where you worked prior to the Cubs. I mean, who is all there at the ceremony, and did that surprise you?
Well, first of all, it was very nice to have my wife, Trish, there. And we've been married 37 years. My daughter, Amber, had to fly in overnight on the red eye from Colorado. She's in the real estate business, so she made it there. A high school basketball teammate of mine, Phil Vince, my lifetime college buddy, Danny Cimino, flew all the way in from Palm Springs. So Judd Surratt, with whom I worked in Chicago, and now he's the great hockey television voice of the Boston Bruins. He made it there. I heard from so many people and so many fans. There were just fans that I had never even met that just loved Cubs baseball, and they were fans of the broadcast, and they showed up in Cooperstown, which is amazing to me. It's not an easy place to get to, literally, figuratively, I might add. It's not easy to get there as a broadcaster and just as a fan. It's not a big city. You have to take a flight to Albany or to another town, Syracuse, and then drive the rest of the way. You have to really want to get to Cooperstown to be there. But it was so sweet. And just some of the other people, I remember the night before there was a big dinner. Andre Dawson, he came over to my table where I'm having dinner with all my brother was there too. My brother Chuck, I love him dearly. And we're all sitting at the table. And he came over and just stood next to me as if to say, you know, I'm supporting you. I've been there. I know how nervous you are about making your speech tomorrow here in Cooperstown. He just kind of smiled at me. And I thought it was the coolest thing that he could have done. Showing his support to me. And we talked about the speech. And he said, you know what? Just stick to the main points. Don't be wavering too far off the main path. Just stick to the main points. And it was so gracious of Andre. I'll always remember that. But the Ricketts family, they chartered a plane on his private jet, I think, to fly in for the ceremony. So that was cool. But just the whole thing, it was amazing. And it's a memory that I'll cherish for as long as I live.
And even some Brewers players, you know, from your, you know, people sometimes, you know, you're so associated with the Cubs, they forget that, you know, you were in the broadcast booth with the Brewers for 12 years, I think.
As you say that, Paul Molitor and Robin Yount both were there in Cooperstown. They both made a point to A, sit in to listen to my speech, and B, they sought me out in the little restaurant later on to tell me how much they enjoyed my speech. So that made me feel great that Paulie and Robin, just two of the best players you will ever watch on an everyday basis, and the fact that they thought enough of me to show me that respect was very sweet.
Oh, 100%. And you said one of the first people to call you was Bob Uecker, who, you know, I travel a lot between Illinois and Wisconsin. And if the Cubs are not on, you know, and I'm not listening to 670 The Score, then I switch on over to TMJ to listen to Bob call games for many, many years on my way up, just because I have a love of broadcasting, just, you know, obviously like you do. But you know, it's funny that you mentioned Bob Uecker in your speech.
Yeah, I mentioned him because he was one of the first to call me, Paul. He called me about an hour later. He was driving the car with his wife, Judy. And I said, Bob, thank you. It's great to hear from you. I said, I think I learned as much baseball from you as I did from anybody, because you were the first ex-big league player that I worked next to and sat next to for 3 hours of the game and 2 hours before the game. So 5 hours a day times 162 games, you pick up an awful lot of knowledge. If you're if you're curious, and I think I'm a very curious person, always trying to learn things. And I said, Bob, I think I learned more baseball from you than anyone. He said, well, that's great. He said, I probably should have learned the game myself before I tried teaching it to you.
Yeah, he is. He's one of a kind, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a great man.
Now, being inducted as a Ford Frick recipient, I mean, obviously it's special to anyone, but I feel like for you it has extra special meaning since you've always been an aficionado of baseball broadcasters, so much so that you have a CD series called Baseball Voices that you produce, you write, you narrate. I've been on your website, baseballvoices.com, numerous times, and I have the Ron Santo, the Harry Carey, the World Series, and I've given them to gifts as many to many fellow Cub fans. I know you are too modest to ever create a Pat Hughes Baseball Voices, but do you think you would ever let anyone you trust create a CD of your best broadcast moments?
Well, I mean, I've thought about it, but you're right. I would let somebody else produce that. I can't see myself being that self-absorbed and doing that. I've actually had another Hall of Fame announcer. I'm not going to mention who it was, but he offered to do the narration. He said, whenever you decide to put your CD together, let me know, and I'll be happy to narrate it. So that was nice. But I don't know how people buy their music or their CDs anymore or their audio content. It used to be cassettes, then it was CDs, and now I don't know exactly what it is. They say, well, we stream it. Well, what does that mean? You got to go to, and you purchase little blocks of audio. I don't really know how that works. So that would be another thing that kind of confuses me right now. But that's the generation that I came from, and I'm sure young people would laugh and say, oh, it's easy. You just go here, you go there, you go zap, zap, zap. You give them your credit card, and you got your audio, right? It's probably something that simple, but I'm oblivious.
I'll tell you, Pat, I buy the CDs and then I upload them into the computer and I get, and it just goes right there and it's really simple. And then I love having the CD. And then of course, you know, the guys that I bought, you know, the Pat Hughes and Ron, unfortunately, or I'm sorry, Harry Carey and Ron are no longer with us, but that would also be a cool thing, you know, cause you get the, you know, used to be album covers, like you said, and then, but now I would have the CD, you know, people could have that signed by you. It'd be really cool. So when you think about though, when I think about the CD, some of the great Pat Hughes calls. I mean, I remember when you guys, you know, that when you were on WGN, there used to be like a recap show of the Pat and Ron show of you, the best moments of you and Ron Santo. So whoever would be doing that CD would have a lot of work cut out for them. You know, you've called over 6,000 major league games. You mentioned, you know, over a 40-year career, 30-plus seasons as the Cubs. How about this? You've announced 57 postseason games, more than any other Cubs broadcaster, 9 no-hitters during your career, and you were the first broadcaster to call a Cubs World Series victory. Is there anything you haven't called or something you would like to call that you haven't had the chance to just yet?
That's a great question, Paul. I don't feel like I've missed much, to be honest with you, and being in that chair that night in Cleveland with Ron Coomer and calling that final out, I still get chills just thinking about it. And I can remember because I've had people request me to write out the final call. But it just comes to mind, a little bouncer slowly towards Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs come pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds. The Cubs have done it. The longest drought in the history of American sports is over, and the celebration begins. And I'm very proud to have made that call. You never know how a game is going to end. I had a lot of people, Paul, say, did you plan out what you were going to say? I said, well, yes and no. You can never plan out the final call. A ball game can end 100 different ways. It can end on a strikeout, a routine pop fly to the first baseman, a ground ball to short, a game-winning double into the left field corner, a home run. My goodness, wouldn't that be something? But you never know. So, no, you don't try to plan out anything like that. You let that fall where it may. What I was planning was to make sure that my voice did not get carried away. And I wanted to be under control. I kept saying, keep your voice down. Keep your voice down. You're going to have that natural adrenaline and excitement. Don't worry about being excited enough. What you want to be concerned about is not getting too excited. So I was literally saying that to myself in the final minutes leading up to that final call. Keep your voice down. There's a little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. And even as the throw went across the infield, I kept saying, you know, don't overdo it. You're going to have plenty of drama in your voice just naturally because of the monumental aspect of that moment. So it was an interesting thing to go through. I wouldn't want to do it every day because so nerve-wracking, and yet I would love to do it at least one more time to call another Cubs World Series. But if I don't, at least we had that one, and I'm very, very proud of that call. But people say, well, you know, would you change anything? Not really. I can honestly say that I would not change a single thing from the time I said a little bouncer until I said the celebration begins. And I'm very happy to be able to say that.
Well, it is truly a great call. I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to say the one last thing I'd love to hear Pat Hughes call is a Wrigley Series Cubs World Series. Like the Cubs clinched the World Series at Wrigley Field. I have been at Wrigley at numerous special moments, the David Bodie Grand Slam, the Miggy Homer, the Kerry Wood Homer in Game 7 of 2003. I've been there when that building had been shaking, but I wonder what it would be like if the Cubs won the World Series at Wrigley, and I would definitely love to hear your call of that.
That would be exciting. I would love to be there. You're right. That would be the only thing that would top what happened in Cleveland would be for the Cubs to win a World Series at Wrigley Field. That would be, because Wrigley was built in the mid-1910s, I think 1914 or 15. The Cubs won the World Series in 1908, and then not again until 8 years ago. So never at Wrigley has there been a World Series clinching moment. So yes, I would love to be there for that. And someday it will happen.
Sure as God made green apples, right? Just like Harry said. But you know, when with that, you talked about your final call. Last time you were at Club 400, you wrote it on the wall. I don't know if you remember that. And
of course,
every time I go down, and I think it was like one of the first times maybe you wrote it out, but to me, every time I go down there, I always kind of take a look and it makes me smile. And now you are making your return to Club 400. This coming up this Saturday, December 7th, it's from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. You are going to be there. Former Cubs PR director Bob Ibach is going to be the MC. Of course, Stuart McVicker always has just, it's like you said earlier, to walk through Club 400 is like the Mecca for Cub fans to be able to kind of just see all of this stuff. There's going to be pictures, autographs, a Q&A by Bob, food and drinks, raffle prizes, and live auctions. And Pat, you know, I've seen you at Club 400. I saw you when you did it with Kerry Wood for the Kerry Wood Foundation for the anniversary of the 20 strikeout game. You have an ability like we know on the radio, but in person, it's just so cool to hear you and see you weave these stories around. I think if you're a Cub fan and maybe you need a gift from your children, or maybe you want to give a gift to your kids, this is a great gift. My kids are older. We do more experiences than gifts now, but this is really a great experience for any Cub fan to be at.
Well, I agree. Thank you for saying that. The website regarding Game 7 scorecards, the Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game scorecard, the NLCS clinching game scorecard of 2016, also the Field of Dreams. Those are all at baseballvoices.com. You were nice enough to mention the website regarding all the CDs we have, but there's bobbleheads and there's CDs and scorecards. And somebody gave me the picture. I should remember his name, and I'm sorry that I don't. The gentleman who took the picture of the Wrigley Field marquee right outside the ballpark moments after I had been named to the Hall of Fame, and it says, "Congratulations, Pat Hughes, Baseball Hall of Famer." And I took pictures of that, so that I'm happy to sign for anybody. And it's been an amazing time. It really has. And to do all of this stuff in Chicago with the amazing fans and the sizable audience that we have every single day and how much they care, that's what makes all of these experiences even more special for me. And the size of the audience, I mean, that's key. But the passion is really the key thing, and how much they love the Cubs. And that's one reason why when I got this job, I'm not a broadcast gypsy, Paul. I'm not looking around for another gig. I've got the gig that I want. I've kept it coming up on 30 years, and I'm going to do it until I feel like I've done enough.
Well, Pat, I hope that's not for many, many more years. Thank you for jumping on the Fly the W podcast. We all love listening to you at 670 The Score with Ron Coomer, Zach Zaidman, and all the producers. It's such a fun broadcast, and we look very forward to seeing you at Club 400. Thank you for Stuart McVicker and Autograph One for helping put this all together, and Baseball Voices. We are so appreciative, and we're looking forward to you on December 7th at Club 400.
Oh, you're very welcome. You do your homework. You know what you're talking about. It was a pleasure to spend some time here with you, and I'll see you on December 7th, which, by the way, is the two-year anniversary of the day that I got the call from Cooperstown. I was in my living room, and so that's the two-year anniversary. Very exciting.
We're looking forward, Pat. Thank you again.
Thanks, Paul.